This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Damn Skippy, we starting now. Happy Thursday to you. You are indeed in the loop. Shout out to the fellas on the morning show. Appreciate that crosstalk brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing. It's always, always a pleasure and a pleasure to be with you here on these airwaves. So you please get involved. We always enjoy it. The text line is 713-572-4610. And you can also get involved in the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat 610 Houston. That's right. And shout out as we're giving those out to the Houston Astros getting the victory. They tried to make it interesting in a way that I didn't need that, but I will take a victory. That's where I'm at right now. 3-2 victory indeed. Shout out to Yainer Diaz for being that dude.
Yeah.
Shout out to, of course, the Summer of George continuing with Jason Alexander on the bump. Shout out to Brian Abreu calming some fears a little bit, kind of somewhat. But yeah, just absolutely needed. All the way around. We could talk more about that game, or we could play a little game that John Lopez has set up for us, which is kind of an
either-or. Well, it ties in with the game.
Well, of course.
It ties in directly with the game.
I'm not just letting you play a game right out the chute for no reason.
I feel like if Sean doesn't have anywhere to go, he might want to play this too.
Uh-oh. You know, well,
let's go ahead and invite.
Overtime.
Let's go ahead and invite
Overtime.
I never do this.
And he's perfectly situated
for
this.
You don't need Houston cans. You don't need them.
He's got a Houston Astros polo on right now. He's ready for this game that John Lopez has set up for us.
I feel guilty asking him to work overtime for free.
Don't.
Because he does nothing for free.
I don't view it as that's true.
I got your first beer at Lizard.
So I don't view it as work. Let's go.
Is very much last night related, and it's the easiest thing in the world, and I never really do this game, but this game is very prominent. The blind player A versus player B thing.
Oh, okay. This is like what they do in March Madness.
Yeah.
Where they put the resumes of the two teams up.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Tail of the tape.
All right,
the category is big game needed on the mound. Okay. Player A since the end of July. 3-0. The team is 7-0 with a 2.20 ERA and 35 strikeouts.
He's giving us all the information we need.
Mm-hmm. Player B, 1-5. The team is 1-6. With a 5.95 ERA and 30 strikeouts.
Yeah, no, I know this.
You're going to know them all, by the way.
Yeah, no, but the Jason Alexander one, they were touting that in the post game last night.
Okay.
Jason Alexander's player A, and the senioritis from Framber Valdez is player B. That is chilling.
Isn't that amazing?
That is chilling.
6 weeks.
1-5 with a what ERA?
5.95 ERA. Man. All right.
Yeah, no, without
guessing you agree.
Without question.
His only good outing was against the Colorado Rockies. We should point that out.
Correct.
Too. Like, yes. They don't count when it comes to the conversations we're going to be having over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Right, because on top of that, and knowing the guys helps us make these points a little bit easier, Jason Alexander, not only can you look at the numbers, we could do vibe check, and it just looks more comfortable baseball-wise, like the vibe
check.
Right?
I was watching that game like, this is all right.
They're
going to get this one.
He commands his stuff so much better. Right? He commands his stuff so much better. And then the thing that I keep thinking about is Framber Valdez, as good as we know him capable of being, he's not even doing the thing that makes him most successful. He's a ground ball pitcher. There's a lot of balls flying, being caught everywhere at the warning track, even when you're able to solicit outs. No doubt. That's the thing that's most frustrating to me.
Same time frame, 6 weeks.
Okay, 6 weeks.
Key moment at the plate.
Okay.
Player A since the end of July.
Okay.
268 batting average, 728 OPS, 19 RBI, and 12 extra base hits.
Okay.
Player B, 204 batting average, 642 OPS, 12 RBI, and 11 extra base hits.
Okay, I'm going to guess. Reggie, do you mind if I do the guessing?
No, please. No, go ahead. Go for it, because I'm also still formulating.
I'm going to guess player A is Christian Walker.
No, there's no way, because that batting average is so high. Like, Christian Walker, his OPS might be up, but that's off of the home runs that it seems
like
he gets.
Okay.
The batting average is way
too
high.
I'm going to guess player B is Jose Altuve.
Player B is Jose Altuve.
Okay, so
sheesh.
Player A the last 6 weeks. Is it Yiner?
Yiner Diaz.
Okay. So Yiner has been, that's scary because Yiner's been a more productive player than Jose Altuve. And Jose,
for 6 weeks.
If Jose Altuve is not bringing it offensively, he brings you less than nothing.
Yeah.
He's a negative defensive player. He is a negative, negative base runner.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He is, and I hate saying that because he is literally my favorite Houston athlete of all time.
Yeah.
But
isn't that something?
204 the last, and he tore it up in July.
Yeah.
He had a great July. Wow.
Clutch relief situation. I'm guessing again.
No, I'm there. The thing that I was trying to see, can I, because, you know, there's some things that numbers are going to obscure, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to see if.
But not based. Sean hit it.
No, exactly. I was like, are there any things in here? And you have all the other, you know, the hidden things. And the thing that also I was trying to see is there a level of a fear factor with him at the plate? But no, because he'll swing at garbage.
And like, you have to play him, and you have to play him at DH a lot.
Yeah, you got to play him at DH. Well, that's going to become an issue, especially if Paredes comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good problem to have. But Seth and I were talking about this. You know, there's this video now, Paredes taking ground balls, running at half speed.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, okay, well, where do you put, you know, trade it for Correa. Correa ain't moving from third base.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you is, like, how do you go about doing this?
I think and reportedly the organization is skittish about putting Paredes at second base. And I would be skittish about doing it in the heat of a pennant race or in the postseason out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Guy's playing a position he doesn't play normally. And I'm like, okay, does this mean you got to have Altuve and Yordan's bats in the lineup? And if Paredes is back, I feel like you got to have that bat in the lineup. So do you go Altuve at second, Yordan in left field?
I was literally just talking to T-Mill about this yesterday.
Paredes, your DH.
I think that, I feel like they are more comfortable with that because we've seen Yordan in left field a decent amount. Now, we know, obviously, he has played that somewhat. But, yeah, I think that that's the way that they probably play this, and they're not able to do the thing that they would like to, which is kind of protect him by DHing him.
And if that is the case, is Altuve a guy that in the postseason gets replaced defensively late in games?
Well, for sure that.
Yeah.
For sure that. All right, I got two more for you. By the way, I'll give you like a couple of bucks for a soda or something.
Okay.
I already said I'd cover his beer. How many more things can we give the man at this point?
I like money, man.
clutch relief situation.
Okay.
Player A, 3.78 ERA, 21 strikeouts, 4 walks
this
allowed.
Is in the last 6 weeks.
Last 6 weeks.
Okay.
Player B, 4.08 ERA, 2 strikeouts, 7 walks allowed. Not 7 walks allowed.
Second one's got to be Abreu.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of strikeouts. He strikes out a lot of people, and that ERA ain't very good.
Mm-hmm.
The other, okay, in clutch situations, these are closing situations?
No, I'm just saying, in a clutch situation, who would you rather have, player A or player B?
Player A,
this is in the last 6 weeks what he's done.
I got you. Oh, see, I'm guessing who they are. Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out who the first one is to see if there's, again, I'm looking for, are there things beyond the stats?
Give me the numbers on player A one more time.
3.78,
okay.
21 strikeouts, 4 walks allowed. Player B, 4.08, 25 strikeouts, 7 walks allowed.
I would take the guy who's striking more, without knowing how many innings
there
are.
4 more strikeouts?
Four more strikeouts and, the walks being issued. The walks being issued is the thing
walks are a problem.
Because you put guys on base and you can blow up a game real quick.
No, you're right. Okay, so player A. But who is player A?
Steven Okert.
Okay.
And I don't know how I feel about that. Like, you're right.
It's more to illustrate.
You're right. Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
All right, this is going to be a layup, but it is something to look at.
Okay.
Right field. Player A, 228 batting average, 706 OPS.
Yep.
3 home runs, 7 RBI.
Okay.
2 stolen bases.
Yep.
Player B, 167 batting average, 513 OPS, 1 home run, 4 RBI, 3 stolen bases.
Obviously, based on stats, I'd rather have player A. I think the answer is going to wind up being Jesus Sanchez is player A. Cam Smith is player B.
Correct.
And I think the answer is going to be both guys.
Yeah, I was like, I think the answer is it's a platoon because who's on the mound ultimately is who. It's crazy. You look at the splits on these guys, and it fits like glove to just have them be, you know, a platoon because Jesus Sanchez versus righties and then like Cam Smith versus lefties. And for both of them, you go, oh, why are we even playing them against the other split?
Yes, and I don't think this stunts Cam Smith's growth or anything.
I'm
like
just
that.
Saying, like, here we are 6 weeks and into the nitty gritty.
Yeah, no, and I want to see Cam Smith play. I want him to get out there, but we're at a stage now where the games are too important now for us to worry about how's it going to affect this kid. Mm-hmm. And the good news is I think he's pretty unflappable. Like, I think he's got a pretty strong makeup. So I don't care about platooning the two of them and, oh, Cam's, because in spring training it was, well, if you're going to have him here, he's got to play every day. You know, you got to develop. Mm-hmm. We're in September, and there are two teams nipping at our heels in the division right now.
In retrospect, now seeing the way that the season played out and knowing that feeling that he's got to play every day, is there at any point in the season where you were like, damn, I wish we could have maybe given him an opportunity to play at AAA and like, have.
No, just, not me.
No, like a day, maybe a day I thought about it, like, but never. I think they made the right decision.
They did. I agree with you. My two things when I looked this up was Fromber and Jose Altuve, man.
Yeah.
I mean.
But those are ones that we didn't have to erase the names. I think even knowing the names, you go, yeah, I'm starting to get Altuve, to this place where I have questions.
Fromber, you didn't have to. I mean, if Fromber, we can all recite these numbers chapter and verse from the last six. That's crazy. He's won one game in 6 weeks. That's what's wild about some of these guys. Like Cam Smith, like the player B in all these. You know, the player B was Altuve in that one, who's been horrible for 6 weeks. He was lights out for a month in July. Fromber has been horrible for 6 weeks. They didn't lose a game he started
for
2.5 months.
We were putting to bed the whole good Fromber, bad Fromber thing.
Yes. Cam, and now there's a third Fromber. It's evil Fromber. There's good, bad, and evil. Even Cam Smith.
Yeah.
You know, Cam Smith, since the All-Star break, has not been very good. There was a period in May, June, maybe July a little bit where his batting average was 300 in that time.
Hitting Oppo
OPS
home runs
800, rising up in the, you know, it's just him and the two Oakland guys for the rookie of the year at one point on the odds board. And they back, so these are all guys who have, and who was the other, and Brian Abreu.
Yeah.
Brian Abreu, another one. Like the first seven times he got in there, once Hader got hurt, he was good. Saved games. Mm-hmm. These last four games before last night, have not destroyed. He's still got an ERA like in the twos somewhere, but he was a guy who was hovering around a one ERA.
Yes.
So these are, I guess the good news with all these guys is, okay, just prior to this 6 week period that we're using here for this exercise, they were all playing all-star level baseball.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and
trying to make myself feel a little.
The thing that also makes me feel better is that a couple of these guys that you look at and you go, ooh, it's because they're kind of being put in positions that they probably shouldn't. Right? Mm-hmm. Talk about Jose Abreu. We love him as a setup guy. Him as a ninth inning guy, that's a victim of circumstance type situation. Mm-hmm. Cam Smith, we knew he hadn't played this much baseball.
Yep.
And you're getting to the place where you're starting to see the effect of him not playing this much baseball, especially at this level. It's the other ones that gets to be a little dicey. And I think maybe, possibly, you can try and squint, turn your head sideways, and get yourself somewhere by mentioning, one, the idea that they had played at a higher level. And then, two, you talked about big-type situations, at least with Jose Altuve. How much do we consider the last 6 weeks a big-type situation versus now when it's like, we got to have it? Does Jose Altuve rise to the occasion? His career says yes.
Yeah.
The last 6 weeks might say no, but I'd lean on his career more than the last 6 weeks.
I trust him in big situations still, Jose Altuve, but it's not looked good the last month or so.
Well,
and then I was going to try and say that with Fromber, but I was like, and look, he has come through.
Not with Fromber.
But, well, even in the postseason with Fromber, he's had one of those odd year, even year things going where, man, the year they won the World Series, he was awesome.
Yeah.
The year they got knocked out by the Rangers the next year, and I think the year before, too, when they lost McCullers before the playoffs. He wasn't great in that postseason either. So Fromber's been—he's had some iconic moments in the postseason, but as a whole in totality, he's been kind of hit or miss.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, thank you. I thought you might enjoy.
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Honorary in the loop member Sean Pendergast.
I will send each of you a Venmo request.
Okay.
Yeah.
The check is in the mail, as they say.
I'm looking forward to the emoji.
It's just going to say sports gambling. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Thursday. That's John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fing, hanging out with you. Coming up next, I did want to get to this. because week one, especially with the way that that first game went against the Rams, there's been a lot of complaints that we can levy, even coming to CJ and all these things. I do want to kind of get to the other side of that. What are you still confident about with the Texans team? Because I do mean confident. And there's one thing that I was looking at yesterday that I do feel optimistic about. So 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Thursday. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atula. And then we got Figgy Fig on the ones and twos looking like Dennis Green going back in the day. Solid? Not bad?
Threw me for a loop.
Okay, all right.
Very solid. No, it's very solid, but threw me for a loop.
But it's a good cap.
For those who are not watching, Figgy's wearing a ball cap. Nice one, too.
Yeah, got it from Academy.
Yeah, UH Houston Cougar hat. He's getting ready for the Cougs taking on the Colorado Buffaloes tomorrow evening.
Have you ever worn a hat?
I used to always wear a hat.
I'm talking about here. I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
You have not. Like
he's
that?
Absolutely yes. Worn a hat.
I'm going to have to go through the YouTube videos to show you.
In the last year, he's worn a hat. What are you talking about?
I wore a hat last week.
You did not.
I didn't wear this hat last week, but I be wearing hats.
I've often said Lopez is the most observant individual here at Sports Radio.
It's what
16.
I do best, really. It really is.
As evidenced by
I'm
this
very
moment.
Observant.
I just can't wear hats as much people. When I have my hair in a ponytail or have it up.
All right. Get involved. 713-572-4610. What are you still confident about with this Texans team? There's been a lot of frustration, and in some ways rightfully so, after the Texans came out. After a full offseason of everything, getting ready, gearing up for a season, all the new renewed expectations for the Houston Texans. And then week one, it felt like a wet blanket, right? Like, obviously, that's not the entirety of it, but we understand how that made us feel. And so there's been a lot of the conversations, the offensive line, you know, some of the inabilities of some things, even the expectations that we have of CJ and how it feels like he's not quite met them, and how some people are taking that to certain levels on their larger overarching view of him. However, I did want to get to, what are you still confident about with this Texans team? 713-572-4610.
Are we taking away most of the defense here?
I mean, we can make mention of it because I think the defense comes into play after.
Pass rush is number one, obviously.
I think so. Yeah, I think absolutely. Especially because.
So if we kind of take that out. You know, like the obvious Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter.
Before we move on with that, are you still like 100% peak? Like even as you saw a team capable of basically deciding that we are going to take them out of the game by getting the ball out really quickly?
No, and other teams are going to try to do that. Baker Mayfield gets rid of the ball very, very quickly.
Except when he doesn't, because he'd be running around.
Well, he does do that a lot, but that's more just his style. But in terms of releasing the ball under pressure, he gets it out. And releasing the ball, so yeah, there are going to be more people trying that, but I have lost zero confidence in the number of pressures and sacks that these edge rushers are going to.
While we're at the defensive side, can I throw one out there and get your gauge on it?
Mm-hmm.
Coverage. We'll start specifically on the outside. Still feel great about that, right?
Yes.
Stingley, Kamari Lassiter, mm-hmm. you would meet, I'm guessing you would lean more to that was a one-time thing with the particular mm-hmm. emphasis that it seemed that the Texans had on stopping the run, and maybe yeah. that's what got their eyes off the prize at times?
Yeah, no, I'm very confident in that. When you raised this question, I immediately went to, all right, things that didn't necessarily go well. Mm-hmm. Things that did not necessarily go well.
Again, coverage didn't go all that well. And
well, there was more
we can go into the interior. Yeah. Like, is there any level of confidence with any of those?
Okay. So let's go there then. You know, the things that didn't necessarily go well to me was nickel, especially, you know, Petrie on the crossing route. That was the fateful one there at the end of the game.
Actually, I think the more faithful one was the one where he tried to get Puka, and Puka got him to the outside on what I remember was a corner route, I believe.
Well, I'm talking about that. That was ball game.
Yeah.
That was it. That one, the one you mentioned, middle of the field. Ooh, I don't know if I can put that on my list. You know, how they're exploiting, the middle of the field.
When you say middle of the field, does any
safeties?
I was going to say, Kalen Bullock was one of those guys that in a couple of the cut-ups, I'm like, and look. You got to give the Rams their due credit. They definitely schemed up, and obviously you had it executed very well by Matt Stafford to attack the seam in mm-hmm. one of those. I think it might have been Baldy or someone who put up a little bit of a cut up, showing them attacking. Oh no, it was actually Dan Orlovsky on NFL Live. So shout out to them, showing that a seam shot where I'm looking at him like, man, it feels like Kalen Bullock. Yes, the quarterback's eyes tried to hold him off, but it feels like he should be able to step up in that space and come up. And then C.J. Gardner-Johnson looked dicey in this one.
Not necessarily. He was just pedestrian.
Okay, fair.
I don't think he looked bad, but he didn't, take people's heads off either or come up with a big play in the secondary. He was sort of just middle of the road. So here's where I'm going with, the things that that were sort of alarming.
That you still have confidence
in. Number one by far, and it might have to be just force-fed, is Nico Collins. Of course, because they're gonna be hell bent on getting him the ball, even if he is double covered. And we talked about it before the game. I was saying, trust him, just throw the ball up there, let your big guy go get it. They took him out of the game. That he was maybe open on some routes.
He was
that they didn't take advantage of. Maybe it was because of pressure. Maybe it was because the read was he was ready off the read at that moment and looking somewhere else. He being C.J. Stroud. But I'm extremely confident they're going to find a way to get Nico Collins the ball, and he's going to come down with it.
Yeah, I think as soon as Monday at 6, we will see a different emphasis on making sure that Nico Collins gets the ball. There were some instances where you end up with man coverage down the right side, and it's throw the ball up there because one-on-one you trust Nico Collins. It just didn't quite get there. There was a little bit of a mm-hmm. C.J. Stroud feeling the pocket condensing and getting the ball out maybe a split second faster than I maybe wanted him to. But I think that you'll end up with more of those coming down than get dropped. Although I will stop and say it did feel like this training camp and heading in and within the preseason, as much as they played, there wasn't as good of a connection between those two. I'm right with you. I still feel mm-hmm. confident, but it does raise an eyebrow a little bit, because remember after the Panthers game there was that big miscommunication mm-hmm. with that pass, and it felt like that jump ball, not quite that, but it was like one of those where they're just not quite on the same page in a way that we feel like Nico and CJ should be.
And I feel like you said, you've watched the plays individually from the all 11.
Like a sicko.
And as much as I don't doubt you when you say he was open.
There was more opportunities.
There were more opportunities. Yeah. I don't doubt you that there were more opportunities. What I'm saying, though, is CJ might have come off him too quick.
He did.
Because of pressure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
100%. Some of that is pressure. He's trying to really get through those reps.
Coaching.
I think that's the emphasis.
If you don't see it by this time, go somewhere else.
And I think that for me, it's one of the reasons why I'm actually confident. Yeah. I think we come back together here is I think that this is like when you're trying to discipline a kid where you got to start strict because you can loosen up. I think that that's kind of what it was. Like, hey, really, really work through this. And then maybe the coaching points as we go or the ways in which to, hey, you're getting through maybe a little quick. You can get a tick slower with it. Linger a little bit to try and get Nico the ball. I think that might be some of what we see as well.
But that's kind of the question to me. You fed right into what I was going to say.
You're welcome.
Yes, he might have come off of him a little quick. But if you stay that next half beat to try to force it into Nico Collins, are you on your back? You know, or did you miss maybe the right call somewhere else? You know what I mean? That would have been like, hey, you know, the old line about, you know, you never go broke making money. You know, even if it's just a little bit, it's better than the incompletion or being sacked.
Well, that's actually a good transition to one that I'm interested. I'm going to ask you the question on, which is, are you confident in this offense's ability to kind of stay on track if they do one specific thing, which is keep it clean on not getting penalties, right? Because those you know, series breakers, there was a lot of those in week one. If you don't have that, do you feel confident in that? Because they did, like, I don't think they had, I'm trying to go back and remember, did they have any, like, run stuffs to where it was 0 yards? Like, it felt like they picked up 1 or 2 yards running the football. It felt like there was a lot of these opportunities to hit your tight end or hit this quick out. And that would help you keep kind of matriculating the ball down the field in a way that you kind of talked about coming into the season.
Yeah, look, this is that's one that I would definitely put on the list. You know, the penalties.
Okay.
The penalties. I think the penalties and the lollygagging comment go hand in hand. I think they all, I mean, most coaches do, most players do. If you don't have the good practice, you're a little sloppy, a little unfocused, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel as if, you know, the combination of what C.J. Stroud said and D'Amico Collins said and D'Amico Ryan said in terms of we'll clean that up, they've made a huge and are making a huge emphasis on that this week. And so, yeah, I think that could be a confidence thing. You know, I'd have more confidence that they can clean that up.
Any other offensive confidences that you think of, or even special teams confidence, coach confidence that you still have with this Texas team?
No.
Really? Everything else is like, we'll see.
I should have had something there, but the answer is no.
I mean, that is an answer in some ways.
Let me explain real quick.
Yeah, please.
Run game. You confident?
I actually feel a lot better about that.
Really?
I really and truly
do.
You
was the anti-Nick Chubb guy.
Yeah.
And you feel more confident?
I feel more confident. We'll circle back around to it. D'Amico talked about kind of wanting to do what we talked about, possibly give Nick Chubb more of the ball, batter the guys down. I think that there were a lot of good things in the run blocking when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, where once they got more comfortable and they got confident, they got to the second level, they did a better job. And there were small instances that I do think that are easy to clean up. And damn, I sound like D'Amico right now. But I do think that there are small things that are relatively easy to clean up as far as, you know, getting some of their blocks. And I do think that this might line up decently without saying it lines up really well.
I was the Nick Chubb guy from the get-go. But the reason I'm saying no is, first of all, you give him more carries, that takes away maybe some pass opportunities for C.J. Stroud, some play action opportunities to be specific. You also taking away reps from maybe developing some guys like Woody Marks,
or you just go ahead and get rid of some of this Damian Pierce,
or there's still an offensive line element to this.
No, for sure.
You know, there's
for sure.
still an offensive line element to this getting more in the run game. So there's my answer is no there. Hopefully we're changing our tune on Tuesday. My answer is no, obviously, on offensive line for all the reasons that we've talked about this week. My answer is no at tight end because they did call up, you know, they did
sign to the 53-man
Ross Harrison Bryant. Yeah. But
But he's not the same type of tight end as
exactly.
As,
so
Kate Stover.
My answer is no.
All right, we'll have to see if week two can provide us with some confidence, but we'll see. It's interesting because, again, the responses that we got, I'm confident that I will be disappointed, confident that they will stress me out every day, fully confident the Texans will suck again. I was just like, goodness gracious, like this is where at least some of the Texans fan base is when it comes to like finding some confidence with this team. So they're definitely going to need to prove it, but what better time than a whiteout on Monday Night Football at home with your home opener, which you'll be able to hear right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, inspired by Adam Silver and the words that he had in a conference, press conference talking about how available the NBA is to their fans. What's a highlight that you could watch a million times over? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Question of the day. What highlight could you watch a million times over and over? 713-572-4610. This is inspired by Adam Silver, the commissioner of the National Basketball Association. I can't even remember what the impetus was for him having
The question was about
I just meant like the press conference that he had. Is it just leading into the NBA season? I don't know.
I don't know what the gist of that was.
I don't know.
But in that, he was asked about something that, I mean, we're dealing with in sports all over as fans with the viewership and stuff is, you know, there's all these streaming sites and stuff or streaming platforms that now have exclusive rights to games to where you need to have so many memberships in order to watch the games that you like, follow your team, and all that. And so he was actually asked about, like, you know, how...
Well, almost exclusively the NBA is a paper if you want to watch games. It's almost exclusively a paper, and he was asked about, you know, the what that means and how, you know, how fans, you know.
Yeah, specifically the fans who can't afford all the streaming services. Like, what do you say to them as the commissioner of the league?
There's a huge amount of our content that people can essentially consume for free. I mean, this is very much a highlights-based sport, you know. So, you know, Instagram, TikTok, you know, Twitter, you name it, any service, you know, the New York Times for that matter, to the extent that your content is not behind a paid firewall. There's an enormous amount of content out there. YouTube, by another example, that is advertising based that consumers can consume.
Dude, he even did the nervous laugh. highlights based sport.
He's not wrong. In fact, that's one of the things that I think people bring up as an issue. If you were trying to talk about the NBA, you're like, oh man, all these young kids are just watching the highlights and not watching the games.
But I paid $2 billion.
They paid $2 billion for the inventory that they will have.
Yeah.
But see,
the commissioner
ain't supposed to say that.
Yes.
You know,
if that's the case, all right, cool. I'll just keep watching the highlights on TikTok. Exactly. Then.
No, I'm right with you. I was just surprised that he said that part out loud. I think that is the ethos, though. If you had some truth serum, if that was a thing, you mix it up, you inject it into old Roger's in veins, Roger Goodell, and you go, well, what happens to the fans that feel like, you know, I want to watch Monday Night Football and I want to watch Thursday Night Football, but I don't want to pay for all these things? I'm like, hey, we got enough free stuff. We go over here getting this money.
You got a Twitter account, don't you?
So deal with it. Like, sorry, you got, basically, it's deal with it.
But it's dumb.
It is.
But
agreed.
It did get me thinking about highlights.
But, honestly, with the money flowing from those streaming places and with how valuable live sports is, that's where they're going to be. They're just going to be like, we're going to take this money and... viewers, you're just kind of have to deal with it because you want to watch this. There's not really an alternative because these are like cartels.
Yeah.
There's not a comparison for that level of basketball, just like there's not a comparison for that level of NFL football. So if you want to watch the Thursday night game tonight, you're going to pony up on some Amazon Prime.
Yeah, and so let's talk about the highlights you could watch over and over and over and over again.
To appease Adam Silver.
To appease you. I've got some weird ones that just popped into my mind, and then I'm going to see what you guys have to say. And by the way, movie highlights as well, because Sean brought that up.
No, we can't get into movies because we just end up in a whole different sphere.
Who cares? Sean brought this up, and I immediately, too, jumped into mind. And they're very innocuous. They're very, you're like, why does that? It just does. It just makes me laugh every time. Anchorman, when after the fight scene, who's the main character?
Ron Burgundy.
Why did I forget that? Says, Brick killed a guy. He had a
trident.
A trident. He goes, Brick killed the guy. That makes me laugh every time. And not so much a funny one, but funny how. Always, I could watch that movie clip all the time. But sports-wise, this was a weird one, and I just loved it then. I could watch it every day. Deion Sanders high-stepping after on a punt return or an interception return.
It's a good one.
That is so badass. And even before the punt return, when he does his little shimmy and starts dancing and sidestepping and all that, and I'm just like, this dude was the baddest, so far ahead of his time. Of course, Johnny Football, Alabama. Ball pops into the air, beating them. J.J. Watt, 2014. And then the one that really is cool is Yordan, his Game 6 home run in 2022, not just because of what it was, but we were sitting one section away. It landed right to the right. I just watch that one all the time.
So you watch it on the broadcast, and yeah. In your mind, you're also replaying it, seeing it from your vantage point.
Yes,
The one that's easy, and it's come in a number of times, just on the A32, the YouTube page. I'm always going to go to the T-Mac 13 points, 33 seconds. Similarly, I will also go to the Reggie Miller 8 points, 9 seconds.
Oh, like, I should have thought of that.
Those moments that are just like, wow, that happened in an instant. Those ones really get me. From the 281, easy. Andre Johnson fight all day. Beating the mess out of Courtland Finnegan. Fig, is there one for you that comes to mind that you're just like, oh, load up the YouTube and go ahead and play this?
Yeah, they do this probably once a year in Cleveland. They always play the last, 2 minutes of that Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
where you
chase down block.
The chase down block, and then the Kyrie Irving, the mid, was that a three? I think that was a three.
Game one.
So that one always plays in my brain. A Houston one, I want to say it was the Altuve home run off of Chapman.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That 19, one. Right?
And the look.
Yeah, and his look specifically where he was just kind of grinning.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe this.
This just happened.
Yep, and then Jose Altuve just running around that base just looking like an innocent kid.
Hey, Figgy, when it comes to movie, what's that address again?
Oh, 8507 Queens Boulevard.
I can no longer watch that movie without thinking of Figgy.
That wasn't even supposed to be a funny part in that
movie.
That's
like my one with Brick killed the guy. It's the smallest little thing that just makes me laugh.
That wasn't a laughing part in that movie. He was just reading the address, but for some reason, just the way he said it.
Oh, are there any hate watches for you? Because this one would fall in hate watch for me. Obviously, I know that the Texas Tech fans that texted this in, it's not a hate watch. Crabtree's touchdown versus Texas with 8 seconds left.
Yeah. Ooh, man.
Down the sideline.
Yeah. That was tough.
That
man.
Was wild.
Because I was in Austin at that time, and I'm like, just how? And I've told you why. I go back a few play earlier on that drive when you have Blake Gideon playing safety, and that you have a can of corn come in, hit him in the stomach, and he drops it. Because I've seen him. I had seen him at the high school level make incredible catches. I'm like, that's the one you drop? That one against Tech? All right, you deserve this.
Vince Carter jumping over the 7'8" guy?
Oh, yeah, the French cat.
Yeah.
Exactly. I used to remember his name, and I feel like at some point I consciously decided to not, because I was like, he didn't do that to himself. It was just Vince Carter being incredible. Do you do any, like, compilations? Because, like, Cam on the YouTube page.
JJ 2014.
Just the incredible.
MVP year. Should have been the MVP of the league. And when you look at all the plays he made, and there are a lot of compilations of his 2014 season out there. I saw one either yesterday or the day before. I stopped and watched the whole thing. You know, did you just get, like, incredible. And speaking of hate watching,
I might need to go do that one.
346 said Joe Kelly acting like a little bee. The little pouty lip.
Cam mentioned James Harden's 18-19 season.
Mm-hmm.
The season where it felt like you were going to get it done. And he was incredible that year. I think from the 6-2-0, the DeAndre Hopkins when he went spin cycle versus the Cowboys.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely a fantastic one. Keep sending those in. 713-572-416. The 2017 game five versus the Dodgers. Yeah, that, you know what? I haven't gone back to 2017 in a long time. So all this is doing just giving me
homework. Talking about the is it game two, the greatest game ever played? One of them in the conversation.
Yeah, somebody said they hate watch the Nationals home run.
Oh, no.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Oh, man.
Why would you do that to yourself? Kick six is a good one that comes in. This is one, actually, that I didn't realize, but it's right. Tiger Woods, 19 Masters.
Pointing it down. pointing it down. Yeah, the curving putt.
You know
16?
what I watch all the time whenever it come across my timeline. Remember, I forgot his name, but the dude that was bowling. And he said, "Who do you think you are?
I am.
I watch that.
Pete Weber. That's right.
Yes, I watch that every single time.
I am.
Who do you think you are? I am."
And then some of my favorites. Never forget Mario Ellie, Kiss of Death. You got to go back to that from time to time. And then maybe one of my favorites that, again, is now on the docket for Reggie Goes Home after the show and watches YouTube, which is Hakeem Olajuwon repossessing the MVP versus David Robinson. That one is an absolute doozy. Yeah, keep those coming in. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including, are the Texans really going to do it this time? Because we get teased a lot. We'll talk about that more next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.